Today I've got a topic I want to talk to men about. You know, a lot of times I'll read stats and they'll have stats about what men are like, what women are like, and I'll read them, and stats can be so skewed, but in the last little while I've recognized that after about 40 years of doing church preaching, counseling, working with families, that I've got my own expertise at all the men that I've talked to in the last 40 years, counseled with, worked with. And I want to talk about something that every man needs to look at. It's something that is one of the crucial things to be a dad that affects the generations of your family. I want to talk about the silence of men. The silence of men. Little boys are taught in our culture that their feelings aren't important. We're taught to stuff them down. We're taught to not cry at a very young age. And then as we get married, we find the love of our life. We have this almost impossible task of trying to talk to her outside of the facts. And so many women are just dying to know what my husband feels. You know, but men are so used to, we don't live by our feelings. From a little boy on, we stuff our feelings down. We don't let them out. We don't talk about them. And so many men today, especially coming from even Christian or religious homes, but it is a cross around the world, but it doesn't matter what culture you're from, you're going to find that men have been taught to stuff their feelings down. So we've got a whole generation after generation of men who they don't realize that they're losing arguments with their wife because their wife will talk about how she feels and he just talks facts. Talk about one messy argument when one's talking about her feelings and the other one's talking about facts. And so today, as we take a look at the silence of men, I want men to understand how powerful the words that you speak are. I want to dive into God's word because God's word is absolutely the expert advice on everything. And as you look at the word of God and the very first book of the Bible, we find a story about the silence of men. It's in Genesis that God creates the world, the universe, the garden. And we find that immediately a fallen angel named Lucifer begins to mess with God's creation. So jealous, so proud. And he comes to this woman, Eve, and he begins to tempt her that this fruit, that God had put a tree in the garden and he'd given man a choice, so that he had a choice between, do you obey and follow me or your own way? What is it? And he was told that he could eat of every tree in the garden. The garden was filled with the most gorgeous, luscious, beautiful things to eat, except for one tree. And so he went to work on Eve, began to tell her how beautiful it was. It was going to change the way she saw life. She was literally going to be like God. God's kind of keeping you away. He literally began to tempt her, and this is his temptation today, that, oh man, there's more for you. If you don't follow God and you know, he's not going to make sure that your life is really full of pleasure and joy and excitement. And so he tempted her, and the Bible says that she took and she ate, and then she turned and she gave some to her husband. I'd always thought that Adam wasn't even there, but Adam was standing and watching what was going on. Here's a man that's been tasked by God to subdue this planet, to have dominion, to literally, these words mean to reign as a king over this planet, given authority, given power. And here he is standing by while the enemy is tempting Eve to do something that God very clearly told him, the day you do this, you will surely die. The day that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Spirit of God in their human spirit went out. Instantly fear and confusion and everything entered in to Two people who loved and laughed and were so confident and powerful and authoritative and knew who they were, they turned into these two people that were afraid. And when they went, and when God was walking through the garden, he's going, Adam, where are you? He said, well, we hid ourselves because we're naked. God begins to talk to him, well, who told you that? It's interesting when you look in Genesis chapter 3, verses 12, God, Adam knows he's in trouble. Listen to what he says. Adam says, you gave this woman to me, and she gave me fruit from the tree, so I ate it. And you know, ever since the garden, men will use their wives as an excuse for the things that are going on. Well, if only she was like this, if only she was like that. And I want to encourage you today that we need to learn to speak up. We need to learn to use our words. It's funny, as I watch my daughters as they're raising these little ones and they're throwing a little tantrum or they're upset about something, they'll look at them and say, stop with all this emotion, use your words. You'll see this little guy or this little girl begin to form their words and say, okay, well, what I really want is this on my potatoes. And they'll begin to talk. And we need to recognize the power of words. A father's words are rarely forgotten, but neither is his silence. I spoke with a young man in our congregation just a few years ago who sat with tears in his eyes as he shared with me how hard he's trying to please his dad and get his dad to, you know, recognize his value, his worth, his significance. And I said, well, does your father attend church here at Springs? He said, no, he's been dead for years. I said, do you understand how crazy this is that you're still trying to live your father's life? He was in a vocation he didn't like, didn't want, but his dad wanted him there. His dad is dead and gone, and he's still trying to please his father. Fathers, we have such incredible power. Literally, a boy becomes a man when his dad says, you are a man. When a dad begins to admire him, when a dad begins to look at him and say, man, look at what, and people often think, well, you know, we've got all these gender issues right now, boy or girl. Listen, we're born a certain way, and then parents are to admire and to teach and to equip them with the word of God. We are to be confident and to congratulate them and to brag on them and to help them to become that girl, that boy that God has created them to be. It's amazing when a little girl hears her dad say to her, you are beautiful, you are smart, you're going to be a warrior princess. Man, are you going to do great things with your lives. The words that we speak to our children have incredible power. I was chatting with a friend of mine the other day and just walking through some family stuff, and he's, as a friend, wanted a piece of advice on some things, and found out as we chatted that how hard it was for him to sit down with his grown kids and to tell them what they were good at, to let them know that I'm so proud of this and this in your life. Fathers, the words that we speak are absolutely powerful. The Proverbs 25:11 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. You know, a lot of people who have studied the Bible, they don't know where this comes from, this term, apples of gold in pitchers of silver. But it's talking about something really beautiful, either some kind of a little statue or something that was put together artistically with gold and silver. And words, when we learn to use words, they're so powerful, they're beautiful. And when you fit them, when you learn to listen to God and you learn to speak into their lives, it's amazing what you can do. In the word of God, in Psalms 107 and verse 20, it says, he sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and destruction. Now, this is talking about the Word of God. But did you know that we all have this same ability? We are to send forth God's Word. We are to speak God's Word. Did you know that when we speak right words to our children and our grandchildren in our lives, that these words that we speak, the Bible says that the spoken word can touch the heart and it gets planted in the heart. And here it is telling us that it can rescue people from the pit. I know children and young men, I know old men and old women in our counseling offices that have literally fallen into a pit. Their life's gone nowhere except this little 8x8 pit that they've fallen into because they don't know what to think about themselves or because the words have never been spoken as to who they are and where they can go. The Bible says that when we train our children, that we are to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It means to be telling them who they are, to be telling them what they can do, to be complimenting them. You know, there's a difference between flattery and compliments. Flattery is a sin. I've watched parents, you know, and they'll talk like this. Oh, you're a world changer. You're amazing. You're incredible. You're so good. You're good at this. You're good at that. And it's just flattery. It's just a bunch of empty words that you just spray at your child because you've never really watched them close enough maybe to compliment them about real skill sets and real giftedness that's rising up. So you just spray them down with a whole bunch of words like, you're amazing. You're fantastic. You're wonderful. You're so good looking. You're better than everybody else. You just, and after a while, it means nothing to them because literally flattery is a sin. But a compliment requires study. A compliment requires being with someone and watching how they are. And then at a perfect moment, looking at your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your 50-year-old son, and saying, I so admire the way you handled this. I see such wisdom in how you do that. And those words are so powerful because it means my dad is watching me. My grandpa is admiring me, and he's nailed something that I know I've been working on, and he's seeing a strength in my life. We have an ability when we speak words that these words can literally raise up a young man, a young woman to be incredible because these words, they bring strength. In 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 13. He says here, I'm writing to you fathers because you've come to know, recognize and be aware, understand him who has existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you've been victorious over the wicked one. I write to you boys, lads, because you've come to know, recognize and be aware of the Father. I write to you fathers because you have come to know, recognize, and be conscious of and understand him who has existed from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong and vigorous and the word of God is always abiding in you, in your hearts, and you have been victorious over the wicked one. As we live our lives as fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, there needs to be within us a strength and a vigor that comes from God. David said, he is my strength. He causes my feet to never slip. I can run through a troop, leap over a wall, climb the side of a cliff. It's like a hind's feet or like a mountain goat. I can run. God is guiding him, leading him. And it goes on to talk about, further on in the chapter, it says, and the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of things. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purpose in his life abides, remains forever. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and the discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord. These words are not talking about just confront them when they're bad and throw a bunch of rules at them. Training and counseling and this admonition. These words are words that we are, when we are with our children, we're studying them, we're watching them, we're seeing their strengths, and we're complimenting them, admiring them, declaring who they are in Christ and what they are for the things of God and the talents that we see in them and the skills that they're working on. If we do not use words, silence means we don't care. We were singing earlier about how men can be silent, and there's more ways to speak to our children than with just words. There's a smile, there's an attention with our eyes, there's being present, being truly present, making sure that we're apart. They say that communication with words is only 7% of communication, and the other 93% has got to do with body posture, facial expression, tone in our voice, and tone, intonation, etc. And that's all true. And all of these things that we will learn for business, that we will learn to get our career going to where we are, have incredible ability and were designed for us to be able to speak into the lives of our families, our children, our wives. We need to learn that every word that comes out of your mouth, it has power. It has an ability to never be forgotten. I'll never forget the things my dad told me as a little boy. I could sit here and just tell you line after line where I was, how old I was, and what it was that he was admiring about me. I remember even before he passed away, and we were in my office, and I had no idea that in just a month or so that he would go to be with Jesus. And I remember him looking me in the eyes and saying, "Leon, I am so blessed that you're my pastor." And I remember going, "What are you talking about? You trained me, Dad. What do you mean I'm your pastor? Leon, the best years of my life have been here laboring with you by your side on your staff." And I'm going, Dad, you're talking as if, and he said, "No, listen to me, Leon." He said, "You're a better preacher." And I said, "I am not. Leon, you're a better leader." I said, "Dad, stop." And he goes, "Leon, this is every father's dream. That every generation stands on his shoulders, goes further, goes higher, and you need to know how proud I am of you and what I see in you." And I was a full-grown man in my prime. It doesn't matter how old you are, the words of a father have incredible impact, and the world would like to shut us up. You know, when you look at TV sitcoms, I've always taken pot shots at them that, you know, they always make, you know, the mom look incredibly wise, the kids look incredibly wise, and the dad is some dork that everyone just puts up with. He's the comic relief. He's the one walking around doing all the dumb things, the stupid things, and even the kids correct and his wife corrects. And I don't mind humor and laughter, but when that is the only way that we raise up fathers and men, then we are raising up a generation where men, they'll use humor, they'll be sarcastic, and the sarcasm and the humor is just a way to avoid intimacy, to talk about how I really feel. And while inside right now, I feel a little lost because of what's going on here, maybe in your marriage, or I don't feel like I'm apart. And when we do this, honey, I want you to know that this is how I'm feeling. Every woman is dying to hear a husband talk that way, but they don't realize that you can't attack the way he feels. You can't tell him. And guys, we need to speak up. We need to recognize it's time to stop blaming whatever it is, your dad, or blaming your wife, or blaming something for not this ability to stand up and to begin to speak and declare. There is such strength in you. And when on Mother's Day, we talk about women. Today, we're talking about men. We're talking about fathers. You know, we've got to recognize that God has placed within us a stunning ability to speak life into our families, our homes, to speak life into our society, to speak up. You know, a lot of men love the term that silence is golden, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of times silence is yellow, and it has cost us to say nothing. When society, when our communities, when there's issues, politics, you name it, we're just taught that silence, that Christians should just be quiet. No, that's not what the Bible says at all. It talks about you and I speaking up, words of wisdom. When it talks about a virtuous woman, like in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 and on, it says her husband, and there's many verses like her husband sits in the gates. That's where he speaks, and his words impact the entire city. It's leadership, it's mayor, it's Reeves, it's war plans, words. In Job chapter 29, I want you to listen closely to this portion of scripture as it shows you the power of words. And to all the men who are listening to me, I want you to think of it in the context of you being a dad, of you being a grandfather. Listen to this. It says, "People listened to me carefully, and they waited quietly, silently for my advice. After I finished speaking, they spoke no more. My words fell and dripped very gently on their ears. They waited for me as they would for rain, and they drank in my words. They opened their mouth for the spring rain. I smiled at them when they doubted and when they had no confidence. And my approval was important to them. They did not frown at the light of my countenance. I chose the way for them and was their leader. I sat as their chief. I lived like a king among his army, like a person who comforts sad, mourning people. This is a portion of scripture that Job is talking about. And we need to understand that this is the way fathers can speak. That these little kids, as they grow up and they look at us, it's not just teach me the Bible, it's, you know, be the mentor that shows me how to live. I'm looking for words, and you know, I watch our grandkids, and I even watch my full-grown kids now when they're doing something new. And to be able to say to them, hey, that was so good. And it touches my 30-year-old daughter, and it touches her one-year-old, my granddaughter. Words. There are words that we can speak. Silence, it means to people that we're not really present, that we really don't care. Even Psalms 35:22, you know, David is talking to God and he says, Lord, you've been watching. Do not keep quiet, Lord. Do not leave me alone. Don't be far from me. The silence of a father can make a child feel like you are a long ways away, that you don't care. Because whether it's a smiling face or eyes that notice or words that speak, you say, well, that's not what I intend. What you intend means nothing. It's what we do. To be silent when it's crucial to speak up will bring sorrow into the lives of our families, our children, society. In Psalms 39 and verse 2, it says, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow has been stirred up. We need to speak up. To be silent will bring sorrow into our lives, because it was crucial for us as a husband, as a man, as a father, as a part of society, as a part of the democratic process. Take your pick. If we are silent, we will see sorrow come our way down the road. To be silent when people around you are doing wrong, the Bible says, then they think we agree with them. Psalms 50 verse 21 says, I have kept quiet while you did these things. So you thought I was just like you, but I will scold, reprimand, reprove you, and accuse and indict you to your face before your eyes. We must speak truth in love, but we must speak truth. Psalms 83, 1 says, keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. Here is a man, David, crying out to Father God, saying, please don't stop talking. Please don't stop showing up. Please speak into my life. And our children feel exactly the same way. In fact, the way God has designed the family is that parents, they represent God as they speak and as they talk to their children. And there's never an age that is too late. I've talked to so many people who have literally been in their 70s and 80s and having a problem with a son or a daughter who's in their 50s and 60s. And they just wish they could go back and just, you know, make up for someone. I said, well, then go do it. Oh, my son is 55. I mean, he's a grandpa now. I don't care. He still sees you as his dad, and your words have the same power. When dads are silent, they are relegated to be unimportant. And today there are dads who wish they could live and be in the lives of their children. But because they never were before, they had no advice, no compliments. They weren't present. They weren't there. They're walking out this life they wish they could change. And they can now. But to those of you who are here who are brand new dads, to the grandpas that are here that have grown up sons and daughters, it's never too late. Don't stay silent. Speak up. Look for their strengths. Look for that ability to encourage, to compliment. I was chatting with another friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me about one of his daughters, and he was just bragging about this full-grown daughter of his, and I just felt this, and I said, have you told her that? He's telling me how proud, what an amazing businesswoman. He goes, no. I said, what? Why not? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't talk to my kids that way. I said, that's wrong. Go on a date. Take your grown-up daughter out for coffee. Look in the eyeball and just, I want to just tell you what I think about you. And just start, well, that's not. I said, I don't care how you were trained. I don't care how your dad did it. This is manhood. This is fatherhood. It is making sure that we are not silent. The silence of men is killing us. It's bringing trouble and sorrow into our lives. The Church of Jesus Christ, we need to rise up and speak truth in love. It says in Psalms 115:17, dead people do not praise the Lord. Those in the grave are silent who go down in silence. I added that verse in there because if you're going to say nothing, you're as good as dead. You're not giving advice. You're not encouraging. You're not speaking up. You're not confronting evil. You're not confronting wrong thinking, etc. We're just going to be silent and walk through life. You're going to live your life so carefully that you don't mess with anything, do anything, confront anything. And finally, one day, you can arrive safely at death. I want to live a life that has meaning. I want to live a life that speaks words that when I'm dead and gone, my grandson, a great-granddaughter, will say, I remember when Grandpa said this, and I've never forgotten it. These words that we speak them on behalf of God because God loves. I get reminded often that my wife, Sally, that I married God's daughter. I need to be speaking life words to her. So when you take a look at God's word, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7 says there's a time to keep silent and there's a time to speak. I know some mom will probably chat with me this week and say, oh, we're the opposite. I'm the silent one and my husband never stops talking. Da, 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 da. I understand. We're not saying this is a hard, fast rule. But we all need to recognize there's a time to put a guard over your mouth and don't speak, especially when you are in any kind of strong emotion. You'll usually say words incorrectly, or you'll go too far with your words. There are times to be quiet, and then there's a time to speak. One of the things I want to say to men today is that according to God's word, you are considered watchmen on the wall. I love it when the Bible uses military examples because I kind of like the fact that we want to be a man's man. We want to be strong. We want to be courageous. We want to stand up for what is right. And as Isaiah 62:6, it says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night, they shall never be silent. Why is he saying that? They're never going to be silent. Do you want to know why as you get into this chapter? Because if there's a problem in an attack, or there's someone that's coming against the city and you are a watchman on the wall, you don't sit up there and just silently watch, oh, they scaled the wall on the south. This is really interesting watching this. Oh, they're attacking the entire houses in that section of the city. No, your job is to go, alarm, blow the trumpet, bang the drums, scream, whatever it is you do as a watchman that says, hey, we're under attack. And as men, as fathers, we are watchmen, not just on the wall of a natural city, but for the kingdom of God, for the kids that are growing up, for the youth that are rising up, for the societies that we live in. We are watchmen. We must speak truth. We must speak up when we see something that's going to destroy our cities, our towns, our governments. We cannot be silent. We are watchmen. And it says in Amos. It talks here about being prudent. Yes, there are times to be silent. But then I'm sorry, let me read it. Amos 5:13. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Just talking about the fact that there are times that your silence is important. The enemy's trying to lure you into saying words that these words are going to cause so much heartache and hurt. The Bible also talks about, and my time is running out, I'm talking quicker, but it talks about not getting involved in another man's issue. He's talking here to the gossips and the people who love to have comments about your marriage. They'll comment about the pastor, the church, what they think it should do to be run. And they're just going to talk all the time. No, there's a time to, like, close your mouth. Put a hand over your mouth. Be quiet. Your gossip is hurting brothers and sisters of God. So there is a time for you and I to be silent. But to be quiet at the wrong time is to miss your purpose over and over. In Isaiah 56:10, it says here, the leaders who are to guard the people, his watchmen, they're blind. They don't know what they're doing. They lack knowledge. They're ignorant. All of them are like quiet, muzzled dogs that don't know how to bark. They lie down and they dream and they love to sleep. This is what the enemy would love to do to us as men. Love to get us to be quiet. Just say it's not my problem, it's not an issue. You know, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be fine. But it's not. We need the men. I so love the fact that here at our church, I walk amongst the most amazing men I've seen anywhere on the planet. As I walk amongst the fathers, the grandfathers, the businessmen, I walk amongst men that I respect so much. I'm so proud of what God has done in their lives. And I know some of the stories of what they've come through, what they've found victory over, what they've risen up and who they've raised for the things of God. And I just want to say on Father's Day to the men that are out there, I've just laid the groundwork for silence. Yes, there's times to be silent. But if you were raised to, you know, what you say doesn't count, doesn't matter, how you feel about things, you know, is not, no, then recognize you are brilliant, you are smart, you are sharp, you hear from God. I don't care who interrupts you and who has shut you down. I don't care if every time you try to share how you feel, someone in your world belittles or makes fun of you. Just shrug your shoulders and make a decision as to who you are. Decide who you're gonna be. And I don't mean as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a doctor, I mean just you and God. You decide personally who you are. You decide your character. You decide your emotional makeup. You decide this is the kind of man I am. And it doesn't matter who disagrees. We get to make this choice. We live our lives and God gives us his presence. He gives us his word. Don't let any excuse stop you from rising up with character and honor and dignity for speaking the words that you know that you should be speaking up, whether it's confronting issues, whether it's speaking up in your marriage, speaking up in your home, wherever it is, use wisdom. But I'm just saying in this message, it is the silence of men that has caused so many problems down through the ages. There's a saying, I didn't find it or prepare for this message, but I forget the statesman that made this comment, that all it takes for evil to take over our societies is for good men to do nothing. Good men to be silent. I'm so glad that we love Christ, that we serve Jesus, and that we're not going to be silent. We're not going to be people who just line up and shuffle like cows at a new gate and wonder what should we do next. But God has designed every one of us to lead. Lead for him, to lead in our families, to lead in the places of work where we are, in our communities. Every believer is called to lead. It says you should be the head and not the tail. Father, today, I ask you to touch these amazing, incredible fathers, men. I pray that we would just answer this call that your word so clearly gives us, that there's a time to be silent, but there's a time to talk. Let your spirit guide us in the words that we use. You said that when we would open our mouth, that you would fill it. And so, Father, I pray. I pray for those men that are listening to me right now who have been raised in a way where they've been shut down, they've been shut up. They have never been shown or taught or admired for the things that they would say or the concepts that they would share. And I pray a courage upon the men who are listening to me now. I pray, Father, a blessing upon them, that the words even of this message would go deep. And I speak blessing over our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, any person who listens to this message. I pray that you stir them up, that they would be counted, that they would recognize what a blessing they are to this world, to this family, to their family, to this church. I pray blessing and favor over them today on Father's Day. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement. Shouted honk said, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the man. Thank you for our fathers and grandfathers.